Hi, I'm Matt Heath, and this is my friend Jeremy Wells, and welcome to our daily podcast, which we farted out sometime between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. this morning.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by MyRepublic. Even if you are listening to this courtesy of another provider, they won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits? What great New Zealanders they are.
And don't forget to subscribe, slag us off, and give us a 5-star review.
The Agenda.
Oh, are we doing Agenda? I had no idea. Matt and Jerry Show Agenda is a communal conversation starters. Ring us with your opinion anytime on 0800 Hauraki. Which agenda do we want to do?
I think we do the Agenda 2.
Agenda 2?
Yeah.
Okay. All right then. Agenda 2. It all depends where you start on the show. Okay, Agenda 2. We're just coming down here to Agenda 2. Oh, Agenda 2. All
right. There we go.
Later defibrillator drones, soon remote paradise up for grabs, but now Sir Colin Meads gets a statue.
That's right, one of New Zealand's most iconic All Blacks has been honoured with a statue in his hometown of Tikawitz. Sir Colin Meads, 81, had a bronze statue of him unveiled ahead of the opening of the Gallagher Meads Brothers exhibition in the King Country Town. I won't be able to have too many beers afterwards, but I will try and have a few, said Sir Colin. Other notable New Zealanders attending the unveiling included prominent sports commentator Keith Quinn, and former All Blacks, Sir Brian Lahore, and BG, Brian Williams. And I had a look at that, watched that last night on the news. And what a day in Tikawitz, because of course Sir Colin Meads has the cancer, and isn't that well, 81. But he was looking in pretty good form, actually, Sir Colin, I reckon.
I reckon he, because last time I saw a shot of him, he looked terrible, but he looks like he's come back. He looks like Colin Meads from 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. He's lost a little bit of weight, but... yeah, Classic Meads said, oh, when they said that they were going to do a statue of me, I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus, can't think of anything bloody worse. But, look, it's a real bloody honour to be here.
Yeah.
And, look, some of the people here, it's a real honour.
Yeah, Christ, what a fuss.
Yeah.
Classic. Make a fuss.
Classic Meads. Well, that's why people love Pine Tree.
Yeah.
Pine Tree is one of those great New Zealanders who is a hark back to the great old days. Of playing on with broken arms, drinking massive amounts of alcohol.
Zero chat,
and then just trying to work the farm. And also, Verna, let's not forget Verna.
Oh, my goodness.
A great New Zealander,
Verna. He certainly worked Verna as well, if reports are accurate. Is he still on the DFL?
Well, that's a good question, and unfortunately nobody asked it. I was waiting for that question to be asked by One News, but nobody seemed to ask it, which is a massive problem.
Well, that's just the elephant in the room, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. And the problem is he's chasing Verna around the place.
If Murray Deeker was there, he would have asked that question, and then he'd have brought up something about Biomag.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, he's definitely... Sir Colin's got to be still on the Biomag. Imagine if he had a Biomag stuck to the back of him while he's scoffing the eval. You think for Sir Colin it was definitely a great opportunity to get a plug-in for the DFL, but... That's the kind of New Zealander he is. He doesn't use those opportunities to get a plug in.
No, he doesn't. It's not all about him. Hey, but up next, Jerry, it is all about the top 5 sexiest All Black locks of all time.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Hauraki Breakfast.
And now, it's another Matt and Jerry Top 5.
He's got a statue in his hometown. So, Jerry, you've got stuck into a list of your top 5 sexiest locks. You've put the list in this bag.
That's right. It's a, how would you describe that bag? It's a courier bag, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, and you put the list in an envelope in the courier bag.
That's right. Well, I just needed to make sure that it was safe. I didn't want it getting in water damaged.
All right. Okay. Let's get stuck in then.
Number 5.
You've written here Captain Caveman.
That's right. Sam Whitelock.
Whitelock. Sam Whitelock. Look at him go. Sam Whitelock. Please tell me this isn't happening. What the? My goodness.
The lashes of a Frisian cow. A suit and freshly wormed modern women love good gut health. And Captain Caveman's got some great gut health.
Number 4.
Ellie Williams, you've written here.
That's right. If you like cosplay and cocaine, this is the lock for you.
Now that you don't play rugby anymore, what do you do all day? How do you keep busy?
I do all day? Well, currently just looking for a few things to do. I've got a few options on the table.
O'Connor and Ellie Williams arrested allegedly trying to buy cocaine. Number three.
Number three, you've written here, Gary Whitten.
In the last minute, I'd get up, go look for a few mates, typically my brother AJ, if I was playing with him. I'd bend down, and then we'd always stand in front or behind each other, depending who we're playing with, and just think about the game I wanted to play.
He's the Magnum PI of the middle of the All Black lineout from the 80s. Great pace, and what a slug.
Number two.
Lurch.
Yeah, that's right, Brodie Retallick.
Yeah, we got huge respect for what the Lions are and what they're bringing, so they play the game maybe slightly different to an Australian team or a South African team, but...
Love a sexy, nasal, cold-sounding voice. The Adams Family Butler look-alike Brodie Retallick, off-field, bespectacles, look as hot, like an oversized male librarian who's as comfortable with the Dewey Decimal System as he is the bottom of a rug.
Number one.
And the number one sexiest all-black lock of all time, Jerry, you have put down Andy Hayden.
As the ball came in, he jumped, what appeared to be a jump anyway, he jumped and landed on the floor. And so did Frank Oliver came out, and so did Bill Bush. Well, I jumped as well, because the ball was called for Jeff Wheel. I jumped to cover him. And most probably, people thought that I had elbowed him or pushed him out. And I thought, in my mind, that Jeff Squire was behind me, had whacked him, and he'd gone out of the line-out.
That's right, Andy Hayden jumped out of the line-out at Cardiff Arms Park in 1978. A penalty was awarded. The penalty was kicked and New Zealand won that test match against Wales. Cheating, in my opinion, Matt, is always sexy.
That was one of the most shocking dives of all time between both codes of soccer and rugby.
That's unbelievable. And the way he fell out of the thing was like a 72-year-old man.
He jumped out. And Frank Oliver, they must have talked beforehand.
Yeah.
Because they did it in unison.
It was a plan. And people have always said, what a great manoeuvre. It's one of those moments in All Black history that people actually gave him. People are actually pleased about that dive, oh, really? Strangely enough.
Not so much the Welsh, though.
No.
They didn't like it.
They were not happy.
No, it was their underarm bowl, that one.
I was going to mention Paul Tito in that top five, actually, Matt.
Paul Tito. Can he get there as well? Oh, I think he has. The initial reaction is that Paul Tito has charged the kick down, and he's also got the score.
I can see why you'd mention him. I mean, that hot ginger hair and what a specimen, but it was never an All Black.
That's the problem. He was never an All Black, but one of the great ginger New Zealand rugby players. Also had to mention him so we could drop the saying, if there's rust on the roof, it's damp down below.
Oh, well, I'm glad you did then. Finally got himself into contention.
Those are your top five sexiest All Black locks of all time.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells. The Hauraki Breakfast.
Well, just going back to Kerry Fisher, you know, Princess Leia, who died just before Christmas last year, their autopsy report has come out, and Jesus Christ, she was on a cocktail of good times and bad times in her system when she died on that plane. Cocaine, methadone, and heroin. So she's got the get-off heroin drug and heroin in her system.
Yeah, so methadone prescribed to you to try and get off the heroin, isn't
does,
it?
Does, it's one of the meanest drugs in the world because what it does, it deals with the cravings but gives you no high because they've decided that the high is the bad part.
And doesn't it then also give you leukemia or something? It's apparently very bad for you.
It's not great for the liver, I understand.
No.
Heroin, so she's on methadone, heroin and ecstasy, but that's not all. Because, I mean, look at that. You got your uppers. Two down is in an upper,
yeah,
which is impressive. But she was also on Prozac.
Yes.
And Abilify. I'm not sure if that's exactly how you pronounce it, but that's an antipsychotic.
Right.
As well. And also Lamictal.
Lamisil cream. For cuts and scrapes and bruises.
I don't think so. I'll just look what this one is, because the one of them she's on is...
she's not on the Losec, is she?
Psychotic conditions such as schizophrenia and bipolar, because she did suffer from those stuff. But let's look at this... drug here, the other one. Geez, she was really into them, wasn't she?
She liked the drugs.
An anti-epileptic medication as well.
Oh,
an anti-convulsant.
Okay.
So, I mean, so she was really mixing it up. And it was no secret. I mean, she wrote about it heavily and about her drug taking. And you should see the Star Wars Christmas special if you want to see someone dangerously on cocaine and heroin at the same time, just like stumbling around a set.
So did she get on it after the first Star Wars, or was it after The Empire Strikes Back?
Well, you know, she was the daughter of Hollywood royalty, you know. So she was on it quite early.
Okay.
Yeah, so she was just on it. She was a party animal.
And everybody was into the cocaine in Hollywood in the late 70s, early 80s. Wasn't it? It was everywhere.
Oh, they loved it.
They loved it.
They loved it, yeah.
And then everything went south. But amazing, most of those people kind of sorted out their addictions and then got onto the prescription medications by the 90s.
Yeah, but she was so open about it, she didn't really have to hide it. She was just known as a massive drug taker and almost, I wouldn't say celebrated, but it was no secret. So, yeah, because she was the daughter of Debbie Reynolds and Eddie Fisher.
Okay.
So she was born into Hollywood elite.
Okay.
And with a lot of cash, and then became a big star, and then just kept partying on through, making love to Harrison Ford a lot in her recent book. You know, that was always a kind of a secret, but they were just really going for it on the set.
Is that right?
Yeah. It was kind of a secret because he was married at the time, but he was just ploughing into it.
Pesting around Carrie Fisher.
It was pesting all over Carrie Fisher. That's where they got that chemistry going.
No, because they
were actually pesting.
But I also think she had a great chemistry with Chewie, and was she getting stuck into him?
Well, let's have a listen.
Somebody get this big walking carpet out of my way.
I mean, that's racist.
Are you stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder?
And being held by you isn't quite enough to get me excited.
Well, it was, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in Jedi, when she was rocking the, gold-plated bikini.
Oh, yeah. She had a thing with Jabba, didn't she?
No, she wasn't that into Jabba, the actor that played Jabba the Hutt.
Wasn't she?
No, she wasn't that into it.
Okay. Yeah. I thought her and Jabba had an off-screen thing.
Well, it was hard to know how that would work, you know.
Jabba was running a pretty big downstairs.
Yeah, I understand that. I just don't know how big her downstairs was.
So I said to her, look, if you're going to do that, mm-hmm. Then do it properly. You know, don't do it half, don't go halfway, you do the full, you know, service. And then she told me to bugger off.
Absolutely. Oh, is the mic on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, you're halfway through a podcast. Listen to the rest. There's some great stuff to come. Hey, Jerry.
Yes, Matt.
Just having a casual chat.
Yes.
Casual chat.
Yes.
Casual chat.
Hey,
chat.
Did you hear this?
One thing about Sonny that he does is he's like an old meat pie, isn't he? He gets all the flies and everyone else is okay.
Yeah.
That is the first time I've ever heard Sonny Bill Williams called an old meat pie.
Yeah. Not many of the ladies could describe him as an old meat pie.
No, see, I would have gone because
I'd call him he's like a rack of lamb.
Yeah, a prime piece of eye fillet.
Yeah.
Or possibly even a beautiful picnic on a warm summer's afternoon.
Hey, can I shoehorn in something?
A vaguely related personal story.
I cooked my kids lamb chops last night, and when I say I cooked, I didn't. I got confused, and then I basically cooked them for about 30 seconds, and I had handed them to them on the table, and then my son Barry picked it up, and he was biting into it, and there was just blood streaming out of it, and I realised, oh, that's right, I hadn't heated up the pan.
So, you put them on for 30 seconds.
Yeah. And they're big, thick lamb chops.
This is quite an interesting...
A vaguely related personal story.
Firstly, how the hell did you not know that the pan was hot? Why did you only cook them for 30 seconds? Thirdly, what did Barry do when he just tasted raw sheep?
Well, he was deep in a conversation about Captain America.
Okay, that's unlike him.
And some issues raided around Captain America. And generally a little bit as ongoing topic around he doesn't respect Black Widow because she doesn't have any actual superpowers, so she gets smashed, you know. So he didn't really notice, but I pulled it out of his mouth and threw it back in the pan. But that's not related to this casual chat, is it?
No, it's not. Good morning, Jared. How are you?
Not too shame, boys. I'm pretty sure I heard today's secret sound.
You're right. That's today's secret sound.
Oh, yeah. And you heard it in the casual chat. So you've won the secret sack, which includes the new Imagine Dragons album, Evolve, which is out on Friday. Congratulations. And also an Imagine Dragons t-shirt. So there you go, Jared.
I could be an Imagine Dragon. That's great news.
Yeah, fantastic. What a secret sack.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Hodaki Breakfast.
The Matt and Jerry show, we're not doing an agenda, are we doing that? That's incredible. So the admin for that is Jeremy J.D. Wells gets very excited about incredible stories from around the world. Walk one caller on 0800 Hodaki decides if this coming up story is incredible or not.
Hey, maybe sailor who was presumed to have gone overboard was discovered hiding in the engine room of his cruiser. Peter Mims, a gas turbine systems technician, was serving aboard the USS Shiloh, based out of Japan, when he went missing without a trace on June 8. The Navy and Japanese forces dispatched planes and helicopters to search 5,500 square miles in the Philippine Sea before suspending the search on June 11. According to a statement from the US 7th Fleet on Thursday, however, days after the Navy had given up searching outside the ship, Mims was discovered alive and on board the vessel, hiding in the engine room.
Wow.
Hiding in the engine
room. Where was he getting this food from?
Well, exactly. I think he must have been starving. How many days was that? June 8, June 11, June... Oh, yeah. So he was missing for 8 days.
8 days.
He probably took some food with him, took some supplies.
I wonder what his goal was, what his end game was, you know?
Well, if he was smart, he would have done a clinger and just started dressing in women's clothes and putting pencils up his nose, a la Clinger from MASH.
What do you mean, pencils up his nose? Well, it seemed crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
Get a Section 8.
Yeah, that's right. It's all about a Section 8. Surely there was another way that Clinger could have done that. That always frustrated me in MASH.
Yeah, well, there's USS Ronald Reagan. He's on there now for medical evaluation, so they obviously think he's crazy. But did they tell his family that he was dead?
You know. Well, I guess they still thought he was missing because it takes a while before people say that you're dead, don't they? And they normally, they've really got to be 100% sure.
But they must have gone to his family, he's missing at sea, and then they ring him up and goes, no, he's in the engine room. It's like, I know these boats are big, but they're not that big.
Well, they're pretty big.
They're not that big.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could search, you know, Queen Street and find someone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know if that's incredible or not. 0800 Hodaki, 0800-428-75. One person decides. Some guy went missing on the US Shiloh.
Here we go. Look. No. Look at all those lines that are... Look at the lines are full.
No one even cares about your
it's
story.
The lines are so full, it's hard to work out which one to choose.
If you don't get a call in 5 seconds, and this gets deemed unincredible because it's bored the audience senseless. Okay, 5, 4, Jerry, you're in a lot of trouble. 3, You are in trouble.
I'm
2.
In trouble.
You are in big trouble,
thank
buddy.
Thank God for this person. Good morning, Hodaki. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
G'day, mate. Alan's the name, mate.
Alan, never was there a better time to call, Alan. And you're a first-time caller.
I certainly am, mate.
Alan, welcome along.
Where are you from, Alan?
Christchurch, my friends.
Ah, good stuff. Hey, Alan, did that story suck the life out of you?
Oh, Alan. Well, Alan loved that story. That's why he called.
Oh, it's a brilliant story, I think, mate. What a way to skive off from work.
Thank you, Alan. Look at that, see?
Yeah.
Where do you work, Alan?
Yeah. I work in Christchurch for Resene, mate.
Oh, Resene. There's not too many places to hide, really, is there? I guess there's big stores.
Nah, mate. Nah. I'm on the road, though. I suppose I could hide somewhere out here in between Nelson and Christchurch.
Paint yourself camouflage and hide in the bushes, I guess.
Hey, Alan, what's the colour du jour?
That'll be Sol Red, mate, by Mazda, I think. That's the colour everyone's talking about, mate.
Sol Red.
That's
changing lives, mate, that Sol Red.
Sol Red, is that right?
Yeah,
mate. Because, of course, the Court of Tea back 10 years ago, that was the colour du jour.
Yeah, sorry, mate, they've moved on from there.
What are people painting Sol Red?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a beautiful, deep, lustrous kind of candy apple kind of red, mate. People are going crazy for it.
Oh, wow.
Alan, what about the colour Pawanui? Are people still going for that?
you're heading into the house paint there, mate. I'm in the automotive, my friend.
Oh, you're in the automotive, right.
No one's painting their car Pawanui.
What?
Yeah. Or their house Sol Red.
Well, surely the people were not painting their cars Quarter Tea either, were they?
Nah, to be fair, they weren't.
Mushroom. Right. Hey, thank you so much, Alan. You're a great New Zealander.
Yeah, no worries.
Hey, just got out of jail there, Jerry.
He really came to the rescue, Alan, didn't he?
Just got out of jail.
I love Alan.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Hodaki Breakfast.
Welcome to the studio, Tim Batts, host of TVNZ Duke's new show, Banter. Welcome along, Tim.
G'day, Jerry.
G'day, Matt.
G'day, Tim. Of course, me and Tim did the Matt Heath Drive Show for a couple of years before I moved on to Breakfast.
Moved up to Breakfast.
Moved up Breakfast. Yeah, it was a massive
promotion, I moved out
actually.
And you moved up.
Yeah. I got a promotion and you moved out. Actually, you moved out and then I got a promotion.
I quit. I pulled the old, you can't fire me, I quit.
Yeah, and then I moved here with this this wounder here, Jerry. But you've got a new TV show called Banter on Jute tonight at 8:30.
I do indeed. It's a live, actually live.
Mm.
Not one of those shows where they're like, it's live. It's not. This one's actually live. So if you say the C word on it, that will go out to the whole nation.
Are you planning to say you've got a 15-show run? Are you going to start with the C word and just try and derail the whole thing?
You got to work your way up to a C word, I think. Yeah. Episode 5-6, maybe, out of the 15 run.
Yeah, so people expect it.
People love a C word.
They do.
Especially live.
And they're excited by the prospect that it could happen.
Yeah.
Because you don't get that in an edited show.
No.
Because if a C word happens, you edit it out. But if it happens on a live show, it's like,
you could tease the C word. You could tease it at the beginning. Later on the show, I'm going to say the C word. And then people will just hang around waiting for the C word.
That's not bad.
Mm.
Hey, so the premise of the show is you, and it's kind of political based, and you get, what is it, two politicians and one wounder?
We get, there's just three panellists every week. There'll usually be at least one politician. You're on it tonight, man.
Yeah, that's right, I am.
I kind of buried the lead on that.
What are you? I'm a politician.
No.
I'm a member of the Māori Party.
Are you?
Yes, I'm second in charge after Matiria Ture.
Oh, right.
We've got David Seymour in tonight, which I'm pumped about. That guy fascinates me.
Yeah, he's interesting.
I'm in his electorate, and there's lots of billboards around, and he's got lovely duck lips.
Isn't he?
He's funny because he's a good-looking man. And
he's a pretty boy.
And he's a nice guy, and he believes in what he believes in. And you know, some people disagree with what he believes in, but he's a nice guy. But he looks normal in life, but he's one of those guys that just really goofs up a photo, doesn't he?
You know how he lost his keys the other week? Do we know if he's married? I should have done the research on it.
I don't think he is.
Because I was talking to someone about this, about the losing keys thing, and she was like, there's only one way you lose your keys, realistically, to your car.
When you're steamed.
When you leave it at someone's house.
Oh, right, so you leave the keys in the house.
I reckon old David Seymour's getting on the lash. He's out about. He's a man of leisure around town.
A politician doing that. Tim, I've never heard of such a thing. Keys in the bowl and he got the wrong keys.
Well, have you ever heard the term power is intoxicating? Like Bevan had to say about Len in the Nutty Papua room.
Oh,
she said that his power was intoxicating. So if you're David Seymour, you'd be doing very well around the sort of the bars of Mount Eden and Parnell.
I'd patch David Seymour after a few beers, I reckon. He seems very personable, and he's pretty.
Who else is on the show?
Hayley Holt.
Ah, Hayley Holt.
Yeah.
She's a politician now, isn't she?
She sort of is. She's not like a member of Parliament, obviously, but she's on the Greens list. I think she's number 20, and she wanted to like finish her degree, which she's completing at the moment before she jumps full steam into the party.
As a degree in being an MP.
I believe it is, yeah. I think it's political science and history.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. I thought you just needed to have a degree from the University of Hard Knocks and Tough Surprises.
Well, it used to be the case, mate, but these days.
Oh, you've got to have a political science degree.
When you got Matt, his degree down a tunnel.
You realise who you're going, Matt, it's you,
yeah.
Right? It's Hayley Holt.
Yep.
She's now got a political science degree, or she's halfway through one.
Yeah.
And she's also been to the University of Hard Knocks and Tough Surprises.
Has she?
Actually, yes.
Has she?
David Seymour, a high-level operator.
Yeah, but you see, I'm in his electorate, so he needs to suck up to me or else I'll vote for one of the other parties.
No, you name the other
person. He gets it anyway. He gets it automatically. He's in Epsom, so he gets it automatically.
Oh, okay, so he doesn't care about me.
Doesn't matter what happens in Epsom.
Well, as I wrote in my column in the Herald this week, I found Grant Robertson around the back of my house sniffing around. I nearly hit him with a trowel.
But he got a 10 out of 10 from your boys.
Yeah, he got a 10 out of 10. I thought he was stealing pot plants. But he goes, because he was pestering around some other people trying to get them to vote in the Mount Roskill by-election. And he goes, hey, you're not even on the list. He goes, how come you write articles on politics and you haven't even registered to vote? And I said, because I'm full of shit.
That is terrible, though. He's got a good point there, but also he's always terrified that you're going to bring up that incident with him and the sock.
The sock parrot. Yeah, Mr. Socky.
I know another story that I won't get into about your mate Phil, Spanis Watson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Although it's more of an indictment on Phil than anyone else, to be honest.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Oh, but, it involves, but does I involve think Grant as well.
Yeah, it does.
To Grant Robertson's credit, he only spent 1 minute trying to get the people behind us to vote, but he spent about an hour on my couch drinking beers watching cricket when he knew that I wasn't enrolled to vote, so there's no way he could talk me around.
Everyone deserves a day off, though, you know?
And plus, he said you wouldn't vote for me anyway, so there's no point in working on it.
You can also take the student away from Otago University, but you can't take the Otago University away from the student. Is that the way it works?
Anyway, Banter tonight featuring Tim Badd, his new television show. I'll be on there as well, and Hayley Holt and David Seymour.
And special surprise, we're going to drop the C-bomb at some point, so stay tuned.
Thanks for sitting through another Matt and Jerry show on Radio Hauraki.
This podcast was brought to you by our bloody great mates at MyRepublic, the internet service provider that knows no limits. And when you sign up to MyRepublic using the promo code podcast, you will get 1 month free on top of what's already a bloody great deal.
MyRepublic. Like us at times, they know no limits.